So we'll go ahead and get into the sermon. The human mind is a wonderful thing. As the center of intellectual understanding and perception, we can design, we can plan, and we can build to a level that is truly incredible. The mind possesses knowledge and wisdom, and with it we can remember dates, facts, and figures from history, science, and mathematics. But have you ever wondered what's exactly the difference between the mind and the brain? Now, as I was putting these notes together and I started thinking about this with this theme of the mind, I wondered, well, what is the difference between the mind and the brain? Well, I was on the computer working on my notes, and so I just clicked on over to the internet, and I punched in mind versus brain. And pretty soon the search engine came up with some suggestions, and there was one site called thedifferencebetween.net. Now, that surprised me that there was actually an internet site out there called thedifferencebetween.net, which will actually, you can punch in anything and ask what the difference is between this or that. So I punched in on the difference between .net, brain versus mind, and it came up with information for me. Now, there really wasn't anything that was really earth-shattering there. Most of it was actually something, when you really think about it, makes sense. But there's a little bit of information that I'll pass along to you as it pertains to what I'm talking about. The mind is actually related to the brain. And according to this website, a majority of people do not actually see any difference between the two words. They're actually interchangeable. You can use the brain and you can use the mind. The mind, though, is different in that it is an abstract thing, whereas the brain is considered to be physical. It's physical in that it's made up of materials, has a shape, has nerve and blood vessels, and can be touched. Whereas the mind is not physical in that same respect. It cannot be touched. It's a thing that's abstract. The brain is the center of the nervous system and coordinates movements, thoughts, and the feelings of a person. But they are put forth or felt by the mind. We use the mind to feel and respond. And the mind is also a person's understanding of things, his conscience, and his thought process. Now, the Bible, putting this in relation to the Bible, in this particular message, the Bible does not address the brain per se, but there is a lot of references about the mind in the Scriptures. As it relates to the Bible, the mind is the critical element that one uses for understanding. It's what one uses for the choices he makes, and ultimately the character that is constructed, whether it is good or whether it is bad. The choices that are made with the mind are described by the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans. Let's turn there and go to Romans chapter 8. The book of Romans, chapter 8, and verse number 6. Romans 8, and verse number 6, the Apostle Paul writing, we read, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Notice that there's two different mindsets in this particular scripture. The carnal mind, which is against God, results in death. But the spiritually minded is one who will live a life eventually of peace and eternal life. So it's very important that each and every one of us understand and focus on the role of our minds as to the direction that we take, so that we can make the right choices and go towards God and not away from Him. The Passover and the days of unleavened bread are rapidly approaching, and we need to make sure that our minds are focused on overcoming and walking with God. The title of today's sermon is Be Spiritually Minded in the Battle Against Sin. Be spiritually minded in the battle against sin. Today, let's learn how to be spiritually minded. How to be spiritually minded. Because that is the key. in our battle against sin. Let's back up to verse number 5. Verse number 5 of chapter 8. The Apostle Paul says this: "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh." Those that are walking according to their human nature are setting their minds on those kind of things. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So one who has got their mind focused on the spiritual things, they're walking God's way and according to the Spirit. Paul has drawn in these scriptures the contrast of two ways of life. One in which human nature controls us and the pulls of human nature towards pride, ambition, and lust. The other is a life dominated by the Spirit, leads towards the will of God, abiding in Christ and focused on the kingdom first in their life and not the material things. Notice this word here that we're reading, mind. This word mind means mindset or aspirations. Mindset or aspirations. And it includes a person's will, thought, and emotions. Notice in verse number 5, the Apostle Paul puts it like this, that they set their minds to do something. Setting their minds either walking this way or the other way, towards God or away from God, towards the human nature or towards the Spirit. This is the way the today's English version translates the last part of verse number 5. Those who live by the flesh have their minds controlled by what human nature wants. But those who live by the Spirit have their minds controlled by what the Spirit wants. So there's a controlling aspect to this setting our minds, either controlled by the flesh or controlled by the Spirit. Verse number 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. Notice this word enmity in verse number 7. Enmity means hostility. Hostility against God. A sinful mind or a mindset that is against or hostile to God. And the Apostle Paul says when it's like this, it's not subject to God's law, nor can it be subject to God's law. You don't have to turn there, but in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 20, it says, "Those who are of a perverse heart or a perverse mind are an abomination to the Lord," because they're not walking with God. They're walking according to the flesh. Proverbs 11 and verse number 20. So we have two different mindsets. One that's controlled by the Spirit that leads to life, eternal life, and peace, or that walks with the flesh. Notice Romans chapter 7. The Apostle Paul put it in another way, just back a page or so. Romans chapter 7, beginning in verse number 22. And the Apostle Paul is contrasting in this section of Scripture, wanting to do good but being pulled by the human nature. Verse number 22 of chapter 7. "For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man." So deep down inside, he wants to do good and wants to do according to God's law. But, verse number 23, "I see another law in my members, deep down inside, warring against the law of my mind." So there's a battle going on between the good, wanting to do good, and this bad nature coming along. "And bringing me into the captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" And he says, verse number 25, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." The question for each and every one of us then is, do we use our minds to serve God and His laws, or do we allow our human nature to pull us away and down the wrong path? It's very important to focus our minds to go down the right path, especially as we approach the Passover in the days of unleavened bread. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Let's begin reading in verse number 23. Proverbs 4 and verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Notice this word heart that we're reading here from the original Hebrew, or actually the word heart in English translated from the original Hebrew. This word actually can mean mind as well as heart. Heart in the Hebrew refers to one's emotions, but it also refers to the intellect, understanding, discernment, and will. So whenever we read this word heart, it can also refer to the mind. So we're reading here, keep your heart with all diligence. This word keep can also be translated guard. So we need to guard our heart or our minds. Guard, protect, be vigilant, or pay attention to our minds. Then notice the last part of verse 23. For out of it spring the issues of life. This phrase, issues of life, refers to the fact that our heart or our mind is the seat of our intentions, the direction that we choose, our attitudes and our disposition, and also with our mind, the choices that we make in our life and the course that we will follow in the way that we live. So the issues of life, our direction, our intentions, our attitudes, our focus, springs from the heart. That's where it begins. Verse number 24. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Once the mind is on track, once it's focused in the right direction, then the mouth can be controlled. The mouth is what we say often can be offensive to other people. We can say things in the wrong way. Whatever happens, if our heart is focused in the right direction, our mouths will follow suit as well. Verse number 25. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Again, once our heart is focused in the right direction, we'll have proper goals in life, the way our eyes look in the focus, our particular direction. Verse number 26, ponder the path of your feet, and let your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. So going back to verse 23 again, if our heart is in the right place, the issues of life, we will travel down the right path without swerving in the wrong direction. This phrase, issues of the mind, in verse number 23, this is how it's the first part of verse 23 is translated in the Jewish Tanakh version. More than all that, guard your mind, for it is the source of life. Guard your mind, like protecting it, because the issues of life spring from it. So how does a person use the mind to battle against sin? Well, we need to be spiritually minded. So for the rest of the sermon time, let's examine three ways to be spiritually minded in our battle against sin. Three ways to be spiritually minded in our battle against sin. First of all, we must have a cleansing of the mind. A cleansing of the mind. Our minds have to be clean. Let's go to Psalm chapter 19. Psalm chapter 19. In this particular psalm, David's talking about God's law and judgments. Psalm chapter 19. And we'll be reading verses 12 through 14. Psalm chapter 19. Let's pick it up in verse number 12. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Cleanse me from secret faults, David is asking. The paraphrase of verse number 12 reads like this. But how can I ever know what sins are lurking in my heart? Cleanse me from hidden faults. Verse number 13. Keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Guard me, protect me from those presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Verse number 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So let the words of my mouth, which are controlled by the issue, a part of the issues of life, which are controlled by the heart, the inner workings, the mind. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. So David was asking here for a complete cleansing to be able to obey God. Cleanse me from secret faults. And he gets to the very bottom of what needs to be cleaned. So just as we consider cleaning our homes for unleavened bread as the days of unleavened bread approach, you know, most of us that have been around in the church for many years, we start to think about cleaning out our homes at this time of the year. We diligently start looking for the leavening wherever it might be, where we've eaten in, you know, the living room or in our dining room, and start to clean that up. Well, we need to have a cleaning process done on our minds as well. And we need to think about that and concentrate that. Take steps to clean the mind which, if it's pulled by the flesh, is against God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And we'll be reading verses 1 through 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse number 1. Now I, Paul, myself am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as we walked according to the flesh. Verse number 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. So he's talking about certain weapons here, especially with our carnality. Verse number 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds and casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, in bringing every thought into the captivity to the obedience of Christ. Notice pulling down strongholds is what he's talking about here in verse number 4. Strongholds, faulty thinking, wrong thinking must be pulled down or stopped, needs to be cleaned out. Verse number 5, he says, bringing every thought into the captivity of the obedience of Christ. So we need to cast out unsound thinking and reasoning, and it helps us in our battle against sin. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. In this section of Scripture, James is rebuking those who found easy excuses for sinning. They were justifying the sinning that they were doing. James chapter 1. We'll be reading verses 13 through 15. James chapter 1, verse 13. Let no one say, when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. You know, there was some people that in James's time that were excusing themselves from their responsibility, saying, well, I did this because I was tempted of God. But James is saying, God doesn't tempt anyone. You're just making excuses in justifying why you're sinning. Verse number 14. But each one, then he nails at what's happening to these people here now. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. When one begins to walk down that wrong road, the road of human nature. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, which is the ultimate direction of where it's going. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So the source of our temptation is inside of us, in our minds. And this lust comes along and we're drawn to it. And pretty soon, down the wrong road, leads to sin, and eventually leads to death. But it begins in our desires and lusts, and those things need to be cleaned out. So how do we cast out unsound thinking and reasoning, these wrong thoughts. How do we cleanse our mind? Well, we do that using God's Word. Psalm chapter 119. God's Word is the cleansing agent for our minds. Psalm chapter 119. Psalm chapter 119, verses 9 through 11. Psalm 119, verse number 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? We can put it in anybody here, and it doesn't have to be a young man. It could be an old man. It could be a middle-aged man. Anybody to clean their way. How can a young man or any man, any woman, cleanse their way? By taking heed according to your word. That's how we cleanse ourselves and how we do a cleaning of our minds. Verse number 10, with my whole heart I have sought you. Not only a cleaning, but using our whole heart in that cleansing process. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. For your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. This cleaning agent of God's word in our mind actually leads us away from sin so that we won't sin against God. That's how important it is to use God's word in that particular way. Now, hiding God's word in your heart here is not referring to per se memorizing scriptures or passages, but it's talking about a way of living. Hiding God's word in our heart, the way of living, the path that we choose towards God and walking with God. As it says, so that you will not wander away from the commandments. Hiding God's word in your heart. You don't have to turn there, but Proverbs 16. Well, let's do turn there. Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16. In verse number 19, not that far away. Proverbs 16 and verse number 9. Proverbs 16, verse number 9. A man's heart or his mind plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And God will direct our steps and use his word to clean our hearts and our minds as we begin to walk his way, as we choose to walk his way and direct ourselves towards him with all of our hearts. Ephesians chapter 5, talking about this cleansing agent of God's word to clean our minds, especially as we go towards the Passover and the days of unleavened bread. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, verses 25 through 27. Ephesians 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Verse 26, that he might sanctify, or set apart, make holy, is what this means, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. So the church as a whole is cleansed by God's word and sanctified, set apart, and made holy by using God's word. Verse 27, here's the goal that's achieved. That he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, you know, not going the way of the flesh, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. That's the ultimate goal for using God's word to clean the church and all the members within. It's one of the ways that we can clean our hearts and our minds as we go toward the Passover, and we begin this battle against sin. The second way to be spiritually minded is seek to be led by the Spirit. Seek to be led by the Spirit. The Apostle Paul exhorted us, as we read earlier, to be spiritually minded. Let's go back there to Romans chapter 8, where we began the sermon. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, let's pick it up again in verse number 7. Romans 8, verse number 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity or hostile against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. Verse number 8. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Those who are the opposite of spiritually minded, who are carnally minded, they cannot please God. Verse number 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Verse number 10. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So we must be continually led by the Spirit. Continuing on, verse number 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. That's our ultimate destiny if we choose that particular way of living. You will die. But if you live by the Spirit, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Verse number 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. That's the definition of the sons of God, those who are led by the Spirit. And that's what we need to seek, to be spiritually minded, to be led by God's Spirit. And we can do that very easily in our prayers as we go before God. Please help me to be led by your Spirit. You've helped me all this time. You've led me, guided me. Please continue to give me more of your Spirit so that I continue to grow and be a converted person, to eventually be one of those sons of God. Sometimes we can have letdowns. You know, we have our physical human nature, our pulls. We make mistakes. But we can ask God to give us more of that Spirit so that we can overcome and grow, especially when we do have those times where we do fall back a little bit. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. The course of this world, which is the wrong way to go against God. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. So there's a spirit out there, Satan's way, that's against God. It's the way of disobedience. That's not the path that we want to take. Verse number 3, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh. You know, there was a time before God called us that we did go against him until he called us and began to work with us. And we must not forget that we still have that human nature within us that wants to pull us down the wrong path. We can't forget that. We must ask God to help us through his Spirit so that we don't go that wrong way. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. And that's the way we used to be until God called us, children of wrath against God. But through his Holy Spirit, we can begin to walk with him. So we need to ask him to continue to lead us by his Holy Spirit, so that we can go forward in growth. We've not completed the conversion process yet. There's still a lot of growth to be done, and we must not forget that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So the Apostle Paul is talking about reconciliation here. Verse number 19. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and he hath committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now he gets something for each and every one of us here in verse number 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That's what the Apostle Paul is telling each and every one of us, that we need to be reconciled to God. And this is a good time of the year to be focused on that, to be thinking about that, that we need to be reconciled to God, to have a restored relationship with God, from being against God to walking worthy and with God. God, please help me to do that through your Spirit. I've made some mistakes this last year. I've been wrong. But you can help me through your Spirit so that I can begin to walk with you and be reconciled to you. Please help me do that so that I can go forward and live according to your ways. John chapter 16. John chapter 16. This is, of course, the section of Scripture where Jesus Christ was giving admonition to the disciples as they walked along the road as they were going towards Gethsemane, and he was eventually going to be arrested and tried and put to death. And so he's giving them a lot of information here in this section of Scripture. John chapter 16 and verse number 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send it to you. So Jesus Christ is saying, when I go away, the Holy Spirit is going to come to help you. Verse number 8. And when it has come, it will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Notice this word convict here in verse number 8. That means like a weight placed on the mind. A weight placed on the mind. The conviction takes place in concert with the Holy Spirit on the mind, in the mind. And when it has come, it will convict the world of sin. You'll be able to tell what is sin, what's the wrong way, the wrong path, and be able to ask God to help me through the Holy Spirit so that I can do righteousness and judgment in your sight. Verse number 9, of sin, because they do not believe me. Verse number 17. Or verse number 13 is actually what I want to go to. Verse number 13. However, when it comes, the Spirit of truth, it will guide you into all truth. It guides us. What is God's truth? His Word is truth. It will guide us and help us and lead us to understand more of God's Word, to live His way of life. It will guide you into all truth. For it will not speak on its own authority, but whatever it hears, it will speak, and it will tell you things to come. Verse number 17, then someone of his disciples among themselves says, what is this that he says to us? A little while, and you will not see me again. In a little while, you will see me, because I go to my Father. Well, they didn't really understand that the Holy Spirit was going to come to help them, to begin to help them to live God's way of life. And Jesus Christ had to die and go away for the Holy Spirit to come, for them to be helped. So we have to use God's Spirit, put it into action, learning from God's Word so that we can continue on with the conversion process. Romans chapter 12. We have to put into action, as the Holy Spirit leads us to live God's way of life. Romans chapter 12 tells us how to do this. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2. Romans 12 verse number 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We need to have our minds transformed to doing God's will. And we can do that through the help of God's Holy Spirit, being led by God's Holy Spirit. The mind has to have a renewing process, a transformation of our character and a complete submission to God's will in our lives. And we must use God's Spirit to continue the renewing process of conversion of our minds to be more like Christ and to live His way. And when we talk about the mind and battling sin, there's one more aspect that we need to it. We must practice to be successful. And that is, seek the mind of Christ. Seek the mind of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's begin reading in verse number 9. So the third aspect of being spiritually minded is seek the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's begin reading in verse number 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. We don't really have a grasp of all the things that God has for us. The beauty of His plan, the marvelous wisdom of His ways. We really can't understand it with our limited minds. But it's there for us. And God loves us. He wants to share that with us. Verse number 10. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, which is what we've been talking about previously. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For verse number 11, for what man knows the things of a man except the Spirit which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, you know, the wrong way of life, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Verse 13, these things we also speak, not in words which by man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse number 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. You know, the one that is set his mind on the flesh, on doing the material things, walking against God. He can't understand the spiritual things, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. God is above all things. Then the Apostle Paul quotes a scripture from Isaiah in verse number 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. That's how we begin to understand the spiritual things, when we're led by the Holy Spirit. God opens our mind through revelation, and it's the Spirit of God that reveals the deep things of God to understand His truth and His plan of salvation that He has for each and every one of us. And as it says here in verse number 16, who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. I'd like to read the last part of verse number 16 in the Amplified. This is how the Amplified Bible reads. But we have the mind of Christ and do hold the thoughts, the feelings, and purposes of His heart. The mind of Christ is to have the purposes, the heart, the intentions of Jesus Christ. And that's why we need to seek the mind of Christ. Expositor's commentary puts it like this. This verse 16 implies that we and all of God's people can understand spiritual truths and spiritual wisdom the way that Jesus Christ understood them. We can understand spiritual truths and understand spiritual wisdom if we have the mind of Jesus Christ. And how do we get the mind of Jesus Christ? Asking for it on our knees in our prayer. Please give me the mind of Jesus Christ so that I can understand more and live your way of life, so that my mind can be clean and live spiritually speaking. As it says in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5, let this mind be in you, which was in Jesus Christ, so that we can understand spiritual truth. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse number 1. 1 Peter 4, 1. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. The Apostle Paul liked to use military terms in his writings. He wrote quite often about the spiritual armor, and he used military terms. Notice he says, arm yourselves also with the same mind. Guard our minds. Protect your minds with the same mind of Jesus Christ, is what he's saying. Like a soldier putting on armor with the mindset of Jesus Christ. You know, in Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about putting on the whole armor of God. And there's one verse that talks about putting on the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation, you know, the helmet for the soldier back in those times protected his head, protected his brain and his mind. And he needed that protection from the swords and the spears and the arrows. In that sense, the helmet of salvation protects our minds, guards our minds, spiritually speaking, through the mind of Jesus Christ. So he says, arm yourself, guard your mind, protect it with the same mind of Jesus Christ. The Amplified Version reads like this. For whoever has suffered in the flesh, having the mind of Christ, is done with intentional sin, has stopped pleasing himself and the world, and he pleases God. That's what one does when he arms himself, guards his mind with the same mind of Jesus Christ. He's not pleasing himself or the world or going that way. He's pleasing God. Those who have adopted and apply the mindset of Christ do not live their lives for wrong desires, but they live for God. Verse number 2, that he no longer should live for the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. That's what happens when we guard our minds and protect it with the mind of Jesus Christ. We don't live in the flesh, but we live for God's will. We must constantly ask for the mind of Christ in our prayers. Help us. Help me guard my mind from the way of the flesh and my human nature that wants to pull me down the wrong way. Guard me and help me to set my mind on the things of the Spirit, just like Jesus Christ did, that he understood those spiritual truths. In closing, let's look at a couple of prophecies that describe what the world will be like when the people really do set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26. And we'll be reading verses 1 through 3. Isaiah 26, verse number 1. In that day, in that particular phrase, in that day, it's focusing on God's kingdom, a prophecy of the future. In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. And here's the song. We have a strong city. God will appoint salvation for walls and bulwarks. Salvation is going to be offered. The veil of deception is going to be lifted, and salvation will begin to be offered to mankind. Open the gates that the righteous nation, which keeps the truth, may enter in. Keeps the truth, God's way of life. Those that begin to have their minds going God's way of life. Verse number 3, you will keep him or guard him. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. Whose mind is stayed on you. And people that will begin to be offered God's salvation, because Satan, the devil, will be put away. There will be teachers of righteousness, you and I, to be there to help people along the way, to instruct them in God's way of life. And they'll begin to be led by God's Spirit. And they'll begin to be living the right way that God would have them to do. And the result will be keeping them in perfect peace. And they'll understand how to keep their mind set on God's way of life. It'll be such a different world after Jesus Christ returns. And it has to do with the mind and the heart and the focus of the people. Finally, let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 33 to 34. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse number 33. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. Their hearts are their inward parts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. What a wonderful thing to think about and contemplate, of God being able to say, these are my people now. They're walking my way of life. And they have their minds set to living towards me and my ways, spiritually speaking. Verse number 34. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. Their sin will be remembered no more because they've begun to walk God's way of life. It will be written in their minds and in their hearts. In other words, engraved into their character. And they will obey. So this is a picture, a wonderful picture, of clean hearts and clean minds that are led by God's Spirit. And it will be the hallmark of the kingdom of God. So it's important for each and every one of us to evaluate, especially at this time of the year, our minds and our hearts. Ask God to clean them up. Clean them up with His Word. Show me more of Your Word. Teach me by Your Word. Clean my mind, please, O God. To be led by the Spirit so that we can have the mind of Jesus Christ. And to be able to understand those spiritual truths. And as we go forward towards the Passover and the days of unleavened bread, let's take on the project of being spiritually minded as our weapons against sin.